Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back after our news break. We're talking about today's signs of the future. We're talking about future events, things to come. And we're bringing up to, we're leading up to that discussion about the man of sin, the Antichrist, the lawless one, the one that's the little horn of Daniel chapter 7 called the Antichrist. Ladies and gentlemen, that's where we're headed. That's what we're going to talk about. But we're setting the stage, if you've been listening, we're setting the stage of what's happening today. And these things show us where we're going. And I say we, I won't be there. The rapture of the church, I'm out of here. If you've not said yes to Jesus Christ, you'll be here. I weep for you, but I'm getting to the point of talking about the Antichrist and where we're going. But we're seeing the foreshadowing of that. Civil rights being taken away. Our rights to buy and sell weapons and ammunition are being canceled. Our liberties are being foreclosed upon. Orders without constitutional authority to shutter in place, as they call it, shelter in place. Churches are ordered to close, and they obey it. Pastors are being threatened for having worship services without the governmental, listen, without governmental authorization. You realize, ladies and gentlemen, that in some nations, you have to have a permit to preach. You have to have a permit to have a church. You have to have a permit to have Christians to meet together. And yet we don't have that in America, but we're told today you've got to cease and desist having worship services. Christians are silent, sitting in the closet today. Neighbors are telling other neighbors, if you do not comply. You have those going into places of business, and if you sneeze or cough, as in the case I just spoke of before our news break, a New Jersey man has been arrested and charged with, let's see if I can find it here, charged with harassment and obstruction, where he's charged with terrorist threats. Because he coughed or sneezed in a grocery store, and a grocery store worker felt intimidated and threatened him. And because he then made a smart mouth, as I'd call it, back, all of a sudden he is a terrorist threat and is arrested. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching these things take place before our very eyes today. Businesses by the thousands have been ordered to close. Merchants open are those given the authority to do so. Only merchants that are open today are those that the government says you can open. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just tuck this in. We have today across America abortion taking place at a rampant pace that perhaps is at a faster pace than we've seen in the past, and their business is not closed, but hospitals are not to do any surgery unless it is required surgery, not elective surgery. And yet a surgical procedure called murder by way of abortion is allowed in this city, in Jacksonville. It's allowed in the state of Florida and most every state across America, with the exception of Ohio. In Ohio, the governor has ordered that abortions must cease during the days that the hospitals cannot have elective surgeries. Businesses today, ladies and gentlemen, are told they've got to close and remain closed. In fact, just in Manhattan alone, I believe it's some 21,000 restaurants that are out of business. We're talking about hundreds and hundreds of thousands of businesses across America. We're not talking about a small thing. We're talking about mega millions that's out of work today as a result of these executive orders without declaring martial law. And I'm a stickler for that. If you're going to shut down the business, if you're going to sequester people in the home, if you're going to close the churches, then do the, as the old saying is, put on your big boy pants and come up to the plate and declare martial law in America. And then I can understand it better, even though I would disagree with it, because we have right now, we have no right, we have no authority that is given to the politicians to do what they're doing in our nation based on our Constitution today. And I'm passionate about our biblical rights and our constitutional liberties that we're seeing foreclosed upon today as I speak. Here's an article. Tucker Carlson warns America will face the three major dangers after the coronavirus pandemic passes. Global depression. The economic damage caused by coronavirus could be significant enough to wipe out middle class in America. The finance moguls will be fine no matter what happens to the economy. Not much change there, but poor people, either the poor or the middle class, will be wiped out. The service industry, middle management, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He goes on with the details. Global depression, he says. Secondly, he says China's economic dominance. Says China could emerge from the pandemic stronger than ever and bring an end to the American economic dominance, according to Tucker Carlson. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just tuck in a little thing that Tucker Carlson didn't say that I'm saying today. when you look at the future tense, the eschatological events in the Word of God, America is not mentioned in the future tense. America does not exist by the time the church is raptured out and the Antichrist steps on the scene. It doesn't exist as a dominant sovereign nation. Now, what happens only God knows. Why aren't we existing? I don't know. The Bible is not clear on that. I say that we will be merged back into the old Roman Empire, the revived Roman Empire. Somehow there will be a merger in that sense. I need not to get into details of that on this broadcast. Number three, Tucker Carlson says, the threat to freedom of conscience. He says, freedom of conscience may be the undervalued thing right now, but it underpins everything we have. It is the foundation of a free and decent society. And he goes on to talk about these things being taken as a result of closing down business on a rampant nationwide basis. Businesses by the thousands are closed. Law enforcement placed in front of homes in case someone leaves or the family has someone coming in. In fact, in some of the places where it is being restricted so tightly, as in New Jersey, ladies and gentlemen, if a family has their family members, extended family members, to come over to visit, law enforcement is saying that there's a limited number of people that can be in an individual house in the state of New Jersey, and they're there to enforce that number. Now, they've not set the number. They just said if it's too many people. What's too many people? Law enforcement will make that decision. Military is in full battle array, patrolling our streets and cities across America today. They call it calling in the National Guard. 33 states have called in the National Guard. Governor Cuomo is insisting that President Trump initiate and put the general military in charge of our cities in America. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if that happens, look up, lift up your head, for our redemption draweth nigh. I'm talking about if that happens, we violated what's called the Posse Comitatus doctrine, and that Posse Comitatus doctrine simply says that in America you cannot take the military to in any way enforce any regulation on the citizens, because that is against the regulation of our Constitution and what we have as free citizens in America. You cannot allow the citizens to be intimidated by fully dressed out military in military uniforms, those that are going to be a threat to society, to force you to stay in your home, to force you what you can buy or sell, force you what you can do. But ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Let's do a leapfrog forward. When the rapture of the church takes place, these will be the norms in America and around the globe. As the Antichrist steps on the scene, it will become the norm. And we're watching the nation today, all nations today, and especially America, we're being desensitized to accept these things as normal. We're saying, I am so fearful, I surrender my freedom for my security and for my safety. I'm passionate about it. I'm concerned about it. Grocery store shelves are empty today, ladies and gentlemen, in many places. You go in and try to buy paper products or bread or pastas or anything that's a staple goods, you'll find that they're wiped out. People waiting in long lines to buy food and to find shelves empty and no bread, no water, and simply emptiness of shelves. The government, ladies and gentlemen, are making a decision who can get medication and who can't. Yes, that's exactly right. It is taking place now in Washington State. Washington State, the government is secretly, this article says, secretly deciding who gets medical care when the hospitals are filled. Washington State officials and clinicians have discussed the possibility of rationing health care across the state for coronavirus patients. Medical leaders in the state with the highest number of coronavirus deaths in the country as of Thursday. Ladies and gentlemen, they said it was 74, and this is there are more than that that die every week in Washington State. More than that die almost on a daily basis in the state of Washington because of pot, P-O-T, using marijuana. As the little boy says, marijuana. They're using marijuana. And it is killing people all over the state. They're not concerned about that. They're not putting that in rules and regulations to cease and desist that because they're making about $4.5 to $5 billion a year taxation on the product. But they're concerned about it, and they're rationing health care. The leaders are considering a triage document to assess certain facts, including age, health, and likelihood of survival, to determine who will get access to medical care and who will not. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about letting the elderly and the infirm die as a result of people deciding who's going to get medical care and who will not. I believe we have a call on the line to go with your question or comment, please. Hello?
By the way,
go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hello?
Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yeah. I just want to read this real quick and hear some of your comments on it. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States of America. I'm going to hold on because I have a few more comments, but what's your commentary on the preamble of the Constitution?
You're my young blood paraphrase, direct vernacular answer to that. We have shredded it. It's been eviscerated. As it stands at this moment, we have violated even the preamble to our Constitution.
How have we violated it?
We violated in that we brought in martial law, and there's nothing in the preamble that you just read that gives the authority to do what they're doing, sequestering and taking away Second Amendment rights, taking away peace and tranquility. We're not having peace and tranquility in America today. We're being sequestered and told to get in the closet and be silent.
Yes. Is it the governors are doing this of those respective states, are they not?
The governors are doing that, but may we say this, I understand where you're headed with the Federalist and what we do from a Federalist standpoint. The governors have the right and authority to do things that are not initiated by the federal government. I understand all of that. But that being said, notwithstanding that, nothing is being said from the federal level or for any other level saying to the governors and the mayors that are run away with their pride and authority of saying what you can and can't do. We are overreaching, if I can put it that way, overreaching the authority that's granted even on a state or local level by the governors and the mayors across America.
Well, why isn't President Trump overseeing this then? If there's an overreach, why do you think that President Trump isn't trying to bring that reach in, reel it in?
Well, he's just talking about doing that, saying he wants to end this shutdown, and now he's being blasted. If you've turned on the Communist Network News in the past 24 hours, President Trump is being blasted because he's saying that I think that this has gone long enough. We're going to go until – he said we're going to open things back up before Easter. That's about 2.5 weeks. That's what he's saying, and as a result of saying that, all of a sudden you think he's the boogeyman with horns.
Hmm. And one more, what's your summation on the preamble of your young blood paraphrase?
That we have eviscerated it, we've shredded it, and it's as though it doesn't even exist from the standpoint of what's happening with the government today simply because of a virus, and the virus has not at this point on a global basis has not killed the number of people that we found just with the common flu on an annual basis.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting in Ezekiel, take off the crown. I will overturn until he comes whose right it is. And that's a definite messianic prophecy. He who comes is right is Melech Mashiach, King Messiah, and he has the crown. And isn't it interesting? Corona means crown, the crown virus. But the true crown is the Son of God, the King of Kings.
Absolutely. Well, you talk about corona, crown, it's talking about the head. It's coming from the head. It's that's basically the most of the other major viruses we've had are considered corona-type viruses. That's the reason this is called COVID-19 now, to separate it from the others.
They all were named crown. They all had crown in their title.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Well, thank you for your illumination and elucidation, brother.
Thank you so much for your call, and God bless you today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're looking at the foreshadowing of what's going to take place when the Antichrist steps on the scene. We're talking about today, thousands are dying from all kinds of pestilences and famines and wars and rumors of wars, and those things are taking place, and the Bible says they'll take place, and it's in the last days before the rapture of the church we see them happening. And ladies and gentlemen, we're watching this, as it is called, a pandemic today, unfurling before our eyes, and as a result of it, we're watching government overreach and take a control that they ought never have done, in my most humble opinion. In fact, here's an article that says the extreme pain of the government-mandated quarantine. And it goes on to talk about the extreme pain of it, of the government-ordered quarantine. We've literally been quarantined as a nation today. And this is an extensive article, and I'll not take time on the broadcast, do not have time to cover it, but it's talking about the overreach from the government standpoint. Dr. Mark Siegel says, the virus response threatens our ability to stay together as a society. Dr. Mark Siegel says, we cannot let this let the cure be worse than the problem itself. At the end of the 15-day period, we will make a decision as to which way we want to go in the future. And he goes on talking about rethinking the coronavirus shutdown and whether or not we made the right decision. We've got a lot of people that are good thinkers today that are wondering, did we make the right decision? And ladies and gentlemen, the question that our caller just asked, well, why isn't Trump stepping in to do something? He's in a box. That's why. That's the reason we just passed a $2 trillion bill that has a lot of goodies in it for the socialist Marxist Democrats. And the president's going to sign it simply because if he doesn't, he'll be condemned on the basis that he wants people to die. In fact, it was Governor Cuomo that talked about that the President Trump is not looking at the dead bodies over in the corner. And he's just doing this, this, this. It's willy-nilly is the way they're handling it and trying to put the blame on President Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, government's using drones today. Yes, government's using drones today as a premise of having to corral the people and watch the people. Here's an article that says the California Police Department is planning on using drones equipped with cameras and loudspeakers to monitor all coronavirus shutdowns to make sure that they're in order. Ladies and gentlemen, that's an eerie thought to me that as a result of a virus, you're going to put drones in the air to monitor the people? Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's all over China today. China is being every human being in China is being monitored today by drones and the artificial intelligence and facial recognition devices that will recognize your face at up to 4,000 feet away and will be able to determine whether or not you're obeying the law, obeying what they say, obeying what the government says to do or not. This is, ladies and gentlemen, just a sampling of where we're going and what is taking place in America today and around the globe. America, the world, will not be the same after this pandemic, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, the thing that we must realize is that's very, very real today. It's real. This virus is real. No question about it. But taking a little small glimpse at all that I've said today, just doing a fast overview of what is taking place, we're seeing a small, teeny little glimpse of things to come. According to the Word of God, the world is getting only a small preview of what God will do in this old world after the bride, his bride, the church, is raptured out. What we need to do, ladies and gentlemen, in our world today, we need to recognize that and those that have the wisdom from God, those that are watching what's happening and studying the Word of God, we understand and we're able to discern what God is saying and what God is doing. And God's given us just a little smacking, a little sampling, a smattering of what shall take place in the days to come after the rapture of the church. We of all people, Christians of all people, should not sit in fear. We should rejoice in faith in the realization that the Word of God is simply leaping off the pages and coming to fruition of what God says is going to take place. We're seeing the signs of the future, ladies and gentlemen. If you think things are bad now, if you think that what is happening now is scary, if you think it should be something to concern us, just be thankful that you're saved. If you're saved today, ladies and gentlemen, be thankful because there's coming a time in the near future when there's going to be the sudden seizure, the sudden snatching away. It's called the rapture of the church. Your leisure, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. The word rapture is not there. I'm not going to debate that. The word rapture is not there, but it's the word rapturus in the Latin text, which simply means the sudden seizure, the snatching away, when the bride of Christ will be snatched away. And when that takes place, ladies and gentlemen, it is going to be major, major chaos and confusion as the world has never seen before. Just be thankful if you're saved today. When the rapture takes place, the man of sin, the lawless one, the little horn of Daniel chapter 7, the wicked one, none other than the Antichrist himself, will step on the scene and will rule and reign with an iron fist. And ladies and gentlemen, time does not allow me on the broadcast to get into a verse-by-verse study, but in your leisure, go back and look at Revelation chapter 6, and especially look at the first 11 verses. But in the first five or six verses, you find the scripture is very, very clear that when the Antichrist steps on the scene, you have in the first five or six verses of Revelation chapter 6, you have the what's called the four horsemen of the apocalypse. That is, it's given the signs. It says, like a red horse, like and as, the similes that's there. You find the Antichrist riding in with a bow, but without arrows, the scripture says, indicating that here's one that comes riding in. He rides in on a white horse, and it's not Jesus Christ. Jesus comes in on a white horse in Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 16, where Christ returns. But this is where the Antichrist steps on the scene. Keep in mind chronology. chronologically, chapter 6 comes after chapter 5, chapter 5 comes after chapter 4 in Revelation. You agree? In Revelation chapter 4, is the chapter 4, verse 1, is the rapture of the church. It's the pinpointed exact time that the rapture of the church takes place. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 16 gives the total details of the rapture, but the time on the timeline, the chronology of it, is in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. You do not find the church mentioned again until after chapter 19 in the Revelation text. Because of the Revelation chapter 6 through 18, you find the tribulation. But in chapter 6, when the red horse comes in, and the one that's on that horse is the Antichrist. And that Antichrist, when he comes in, he will be the answer to man's problems. He will be the one that will be the world will be waiting for and looking for. He will be the one that will come in, and he will seem to have the answer to all of the questions and all the problems. He'll be the one that, according to Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, will have the covenant of peace for 7 years. The midway through that covenant of peace, that transaction, that peace covenant, peace treaty, he will break it and try to destroy the Jewish people and wreak havoc on a global basis. Ladies and gentlemen, this one that rides in, that is in Revelation chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 and following, he is the one that's the Antichrist. He's the one that will come in, and he has the authority based on Revelation chapter 13, 3 through 6. His authority is given to him by Satan himself, by Satan himself. He will look like the right one. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, on a global basis, I don't care what nation you're from, what nation you may be in or from, there is a desire to find someone, some political leader, someone that can walk in and bring peace to a nation and peace to a globe. And that one will be the Antichrist who will step on the scene. But he's given his authority and power. Your leisure read Revelation chapter 13, 1 and following. Chapter 13, verses 1 through 18 is a wonderful study about the Antichrist. He will come in, and he will have the authority that's given to him, the scripture says, by Satan himself. And with that authority, the Antichrist, the scripture said, will blaspheme, that is to curse the place of God. He will curse the person of God. He will curse the people of God. Yes, it's talking about the churches. And ladies and gentlemen, just as we see today, with the churches being closed by governmental fiat, you'll find the Antichrist will shut down anything that's called a place of spirituality or Christianity. He will shut down every church. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in serious days. We're living in a time when we have the privilege of seeing what a little foreshadowing of what God is going to do after the church is raptured out. Ladies and gentlemen, according to Revelation chapter 6, verse 1 and following, the world will see wars and death and destruction and famine. Because, ladies and gentlemen, in Revelation chapter 6, verse 1 and following, you'll find the Antichrist stepping on the scene. He will come in looking as though he's bringing peace, but he'll bring dearth, that is famine. He'll bring destruction and death as never before, according to the first few verses in Revelation chapter 6. It is where the seals are open. Revelation chapter 5, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is the one that has the authority to open the seals. As the seals have been opened, there's seven seal judgment. And under the seven seals is the totality of all of the judgment, the days of the tribulation confined therein. Under the seventh seal, then, it starts with the trumpet's judgment, the seven trumpets. And each of those trumpets, as it is blown, it unfurls and gives a greater detail of the destruction and the devastation and the death and the dying and the difficulties under the hands of the dictator, the Antichrist. And then at the seventh trumpet, when the seventh trumpet is blown, it opens up the seven vials. Some calls them the seven bowls. And it's the bowls filled with the wrath of God that will be poured out upon a Christ-rejecting, Bible-hating, God-denying society that said no to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. The globe, but ladies and gentlemen, according to Revelation chapter 6, let me just read you one little verse that is so pertinent today. And I heard a voice of the in the midst of the four beasts saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Ladies and gentlemen, in that sixth verse there of Revelation chapter 6, it is talking about the fact that in the days of the tribulation, when the Antichrist steps on the scene, there will be such dearth and such famine and such death and destruction and devastation that it will cost the wages of a day, a day's wages, to buy a loaf of bread. And I thought about that the other day when I walked in Walmart and there was such chaos and confusion in there. I went in simply to get a loaf of bread and a gallon of milk to find that there was chaos and confusion. The shelves were had been evacuated, emptied. There was no bread. There was no pasta. There was no paper products, et cetera, et cetera. And ladies and gentlemen, I've watched on television several times as they've shown scenes in New Jersey, New York, and Pennsylvania, in the northeastern part of the world, nation, where people are lined up with their shopping carts all the way out to the street, with double lines out to the street, with police officers having to control the traffic in and out, where people are lined up to buy groceries, only to find when they get in that there's very little of the product they're looking for, especially as bread items and daily staple items, very little of them on the shelf. And that's what we see, ladies and gentlemen. I'm talking about, and I'm not trying to be panicky. I'm not trying to offer a panic-stricken idea thought. I'm being realistic with what we see in the Word of God. We're watching today, enforced by government on a national, state, and local level, those events that shall be on a global level under the dictatorial rule of the Antichrist when he comes. The Antichrist will blaspheme the place of God, the people of God, and the person of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching today. Bread lines will be seen around the globe when the Antichrist steps on the scene. A loaf of bread will cost a day's wages. Talking about inflation, that's a good picture of inflation that will take place. And ladies and gentlemen, once we reopen as America, we're going to watch hyperinflation and the potentiality of major recession, if not a complete depression, as a result of what we're seeing today. And all because 803 people have died in America, and we're destroying the economy. We're shutting it down completely. And we're going to see, ladies and gentlemen, this is only a foreshadowing of what God is going to do in a world that said no to Jesus Christ after the church is raptured out. It will make today's pandemic look like a picnic, just like a preview we're witnessing today of all of the stores closed and the government orders. In the days of the tribulation, the Antichrist will not allow just anyone to buy, will not allow just anyone to sell. The mark of the beast, as it's called, the identifying mark of the Antichrist, will be required if you're able to buy or sell anything. Your mark is going to be implanted, ladies and gentlemen. If you're not saved, you will be left behind. And there will be that implantation of that chip in your head or in your hand, which will allow you to use your head or hand charge card, if you will. And without that mark, you will be left to starve with no food, no water, no job, no place to live, just to die as a vagabond on the streets. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not talking about doom and gloom. I'm talking about the reality of what the Word of God says. I'm talking about the reality that you need to be ready. We need to be prepared. And ladies and gentlemen, we're watching a foreshadowing of that today. Thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time as once again on the air we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal, Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.